Good afternoon. Welcome to the National Press Club. My name is Gil Klein. I'm the president of the club and a national correspondent for Media General newspapers, writing for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, the Tampa Tribune, and the Winston-Salem Journal. I'd like to welcome my fellow club members in the audience today, as well as those of you who are watching us on C-SPAN or listening to us on National Public Radio or the Internet Global Computer Network. Before introducing our head table, I'd like to remind you all of some upcoming speakers. On Monday, June 20th, Dan Golden, the NASA administrator, will present a speech entitled Space Exploration and America's Technological Future. On Thursday, June 23rd, Donna Shalala, Secretary of Health and Human Services, will be on hand to discuss President Clinton's welfare reform proposal. And on Tuesday, June 28th, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, exiled president of Haiti, will talk about efforts to restore democracy in Haiti. Audio and video tapes and transcripts of press club lunches are available by calling 1-800-500-9911. If you have any questions for our speaker, and I certainly trust that you will, please write them on the cards provided for you at the table, pass them forward, and I will ask as many as time permits. I'd like now to introduce our head table guests and ask them to stand briefly when their names are called. From your right is Ann Ayers, music director for USA Today. Excuse me, music editor for USA Today. She could also be music director too. I'm sure they have a USA Today marching band. Octavia Roca, chief music critic for the Washington Times. Paul Hume, former music editor of the Washington Post. Vitaly Chukseyev, Washington bureau chief for the TASS news agency. Nancy Schwerzler, managing editor of the Medill News Service. Tom Quigley, president of the National Symphony Orchestra Association. Skipping over our speaker for a moment, we have Christy Wise, freelance journalist and chairwoman of the National Press Club Speakers Committee. Nadia Efremov, assistant to Mr. Rostropovich. Austin Kiplinger, chairman of the Kiplinger Washington Editors. Nancy Dunn of the Financial Times. Reginald Stewart, assistant news editor for Knight Ritter Newspapers. And Linda Kramer of People Magazine. You can applaud. Also, I'd like to thank staff members Melissa Bender, Sherry Burton, Melanie Abdow-Dermott, and Jeff Tarbell for organizing today's luncheon. To say that Mislav Rostropovich is the music director of the National Symphony Orchestra is to say little about who our speaker is today. He is credited by critics on four continents with transforming the orchestra into world-class status. But his life has been so rich and his talent so great that finding enough superlatives for his achievements is difficult. He has had an extraordinary career as a celebrated and world-renowned conductor, cellist, and pianist. And along the way, he has also distinguished himself as one of the world's foremost outspoken defenders of human rights and a champion of liberty in his native Russia. And even more than that, he is one of those rare individuals who has found a way to embrace life for all it is worth. As the Associated Press described in its story today, Mr. Rostropovich bows over his cello with such passion that the music seems to flow directly from his rapt eyes. Each minute God gives you, he told the AP, you must feel this. Born in Moscow to parents who were both musicians, Maestro Rostropovich grew up with music. He taught himself to play the piano at 4 and gave his first cello performance at 8. Not until after the Second World War did he begin to see the flaws in the Soviet system when his two mentors at the Moscow Conservatory were denounced by the Communist Party. He stood by them, and his career was allowed to flourish until the 1970s, when he took the famed dissident author Alexander Solzhenitsyn under his wing and protested when the Communist Party attacked him. The party retaliated by removing Rostropovich as conductor of the Bolshoi, canceling his foreign trips, and barring him from conducting or performing in any major hall. He and his wife, the acclaimed soprano Galina Vishnevskaya, became non-persons. In 1974, he went into exile in the United States, announcing he would not return until Russia's artists and all citizens were free. It is, of course, fitting that he should have played on the ruins of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and return in triumph to the Soviet Union in 1990 to perform for Raisa Gorbachev, ending his concert with a rousing version of Stars and Stripes Forever. The next year, he rushed to Moscow during the coup attempt to stand by Boris Yeltsin. And in September 1993, just 6 days prior to the use of armed forces on the Russian parliament, he played in the Red Square before 100,000 Russians, including Mr. Yeltsin, with the National Symphony Orchestra. And he performed the 1812 Overture with the bells of St. Basil's Cathedral as playing the lead role there. Such a life. And now he is retiring from the National Symphony Orchestra. But don't believe for a second that he is retiring from music. His schedule as a soloist and conductor is booked solid every day through September 1997. No vacations, he told the AP. So ladies and gentlemen, we are extremely fortunate to have with us Maestro Mislav Rostropovich.
Thank you very much. Thank you. The president of Press Club, distinguished friends, distinguished guests here, my colleagues, Sam, and ladies and gentlemen. Of course, I'm a little bit nervous now because my English not improved for 20 years, so much. Of course, because I never make one lessons from English. I only English coming to my ears and some words stay in my brain. But how make together words, that's difficult for me, still difficult. I would like to tell to you, my friends, about a little bit about my country, about Russia. You know, now is extremely important moment for Russia, and through the Russia, I think that reflected to whole world. Because what is happens now with Russia, that's of course, that's very important for all our civilization. Sorry, I not so much spend the time in Russia until now. But in my future, what president of club tell to you, that I completely schedule my life until 1st of September 97. Of course, I make two period for that time. I make two period what I visit to Russia. Of course, that's for music. I make in Bolshoi Theater in next year, next 95 September. In October, I spent it in Russia for make it Havanshina, that's opera from Mussorgsky, in Bolshoi Theater. And year 96, I also in October spent it in St. Petersburg for make it there Lady Macbeth of Mtsensk, opera of Shostakovich. Of course, I have more time for future stay there in my country in Russia. That's one of the reasons why I resign my position as music director here, because I would like also now in my age, not, I don't know how to tell you about my age. But in my age, in any case, I would like now exactly make what I would like in the music. And I would like also spend my time for a little bit geographical, bigger possibility for me. I schedule, for example, one visit in Africa. I never was in Africa in my life, and I would like visit there. Very interesting for me. I would like coming to Dakar and to area like that in Africa. I also scheduled, I like very much opera. And I not only make two operas in Russia, but I also make two operas in Vienna State's opera. I make a world premiere of Russian composer Alfred Schnittke, new opera that's named Gesualdo, that's in Vienna State Opera, and also Peter Grimes by Benjamin Britten, that's genius opera, also make in Vienna. And next, in December this year, I make premiere of another Russian composer, Rodion Shchedrin, his opera Lolita, that's based in a novel of Nabokov. I make in Stockholm Opera Theater. But I must tell you now that's my experience so far in Russia. Of course, when I came first time after 17 years to Russia with National Symphony Orchestra, that was 1990 in February 1990, I came to another country, completely another country. And I must tell you that make together, you know, together two emotional experience, what I have in February 90 at my last concert in Moscow before I left from there, 10 of May 1974. You know, that's connected these two emotional moments in my life very, very, very difficult. Very difficult connected because when my last concert was in Moscow Conservatory, 10 of May 1974, that time I only have possibility to make concert with student orchestra of conservatorium because that's not permit to me conducting big orchestra or play with big orchestra or in big concert hall. That's why as professor conservatorium, Moscow Conservatorium, that's make for me permission conducting concert in Moscow Conservatorium, big hall Moscow Conservatorium, same hall what I coming back after 16 years, same hall, an orchestra for student. You know, now very interesting, some days ago, orchestra, National Symphony Orchestra, make for me party, goodbye party, something like that, in big ship in Potomac. And you know, each group of orchestra give to me separately gift. Very big feeling of sense of humor. And that really was great night after our performance. And of course, change a little bit style after a Requiem by Verdi. And each group give to me gifts. My last concert in Moscow in 1974, I stay in podium after I finish conducting. Each group of student, group of first violin section, of second violin section, coming for me separately and give to me flowers. And you know, that's two moment in my life that so touched my heart and that's so important for me. And also when, after my concert, 10 of May 1974, I stay in backstage with my wife, with my friends, of course, with some kind of vodka. Yes, and I stay and I, you know, that's very difficult coming out from backstage in conservatorium when I have my education, when I have my career until 47 years old. Very difficult to go out and think that's last time I'm there. That's why I stay backstage maybe 45 minutes, maybe 1 hour. But when I come out, I see all public, what was, of course, sold out, was concert, all public stay in the state and screaming, Slava, come back, Slava, come back, all public. And I coming back after 16 years. I not expected, how my wife, also Galina, not expected that we coming in our lifetime back to our country. But God make such miracle, and miracle that communism is no more in such power like it was before. Thanks of God, thanks of everybody who helped to that. And now, when we come, and I come also very significant, first my step was with back to Russia with National Symphony Orchestra. Also, I come there with my new family, music family. And of course, my love and my, if you like, admiration for my country, that take me back to my country. Because I would like help to my people, but I completely different person now than 1974. Because I, for my 20 years now in the West, I have also my family in the West, great family, not only Russian people, that's only one family in my life, in big scale. That's why when I come to Russia, I feel like an ambassador of United States. And of course, 20 years in the West, I feel as culture ambassador of my country of Russia. You know, of course, we have very difficult situation now, especially that criminal situation. Yes? Criminal situation that's very bad in Russia. But you know, especially bad because before, when it was Soviet system, Soviet Union was, of course, that for press, was forbidden make any comment about crime. Just forbidden in newspaper. That's why now in freedom for newspaper, that newspaper of course each would like make more sensational some news, and of course sensational how that's with many details, how that kill each another people, how that in family kill father, kill daughter or wife, that's now that with some special, you know, with special special details make this news. That's why I think that, for example, situation in New York maybe not much better for that. But you already know about this many, many years. But Russia only now know how bad situation there because of press in Russia. That's also what is difficult now, that we have there some kind of mafia, Russian mafia, and a racket. For example, I must tell you my very dear friend that he's great industrial for food, great chief of industry, food industry. That's Antoine Ribou, French, that's his chief of BSN. Now BSN make another name, that's named now Danone. And Antoine Ribou, also his company, make some small kiosk in big department store. Kiosk when he sell Danone yogurt. And he tell me that once for this small kiosk coming one guy with a leather jacket, black leather jacket, and tell, you know, now you must each day give to me in my pocket 20% of your profit, or your profit, 20%. And he tell, if you pay for me, I just make for you secure life here. So that's a very interesting security system, yes, of course, a life security system. And you know that, of course, I tell about this story to Russian government, because, but I think that the Russian government not have news about that, because a racket, for example, that's very, very strong now. And, you know, как сказать, оружие?
Weapons.
Yes. You know, that's also, before in Soviet system, that's very difficult was to buy weapons. Now in black market, that's very easy. And that's, of course, that's not help to this situation. And, of course, with all difficulties for Russia, but I love this country because if I disappointed there for some reasons, I always think about Tchaikovsky, Mussorgsky, Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, Pushkin, and think, no, that's good nation in any case. Thank you. You know that when I tell to you, I feel in Russia like a your ambassador, my friends, there. Of course, I see how reflected all relation between United States and Russia, how reflected for just simple people in my country, in Russia. And you know that beginning our explosion of our friendship that some years ago was so great. I was so happy. I think now we must also a little bit from both sides, from one for here and from Russia, a little bit carefully used, for example, that's periodic newspaper, some articles. Because Russian, you know, propaganda, what was against United States more than 70 years in Russia. That's impossible even for 2-3 years take it out from some, if you like, not perfect brain for people. That must be make some operation, you know, for take this propaganda, what 70 years was enormously hard. That's why, that sometimes, you know, when in United States make very significant for a person like Zhirinovsky, and think that Zhirinovsky a real important and with big future figure in Russia, I think that's a little bit reflected in Russia, not positive. Because, of course, that Zhirinovsky have some in the 12th of December, he have many votes from Russian people. But interesting, because he lost completely a city like Moscow and St. Petersburg, another big city that he lost much. But you know, that was even his, for me, I was that time in Russia. For me, even his victory look absolutely not serious. Not serious. He was great actor, great actor. And of course, you know, in some villages, Russian villages, some people sit in TV, and he, for example, make his campaign very smart, I think, much more smart than our new democracy people who is representation for democracy. He make small time, take many short time in TV, but he, Zhirinovsky, he's speaking only with particularly small group of the people, for special, not maybe small, but for special group of the people. For example, he tell, now I would like to speak with student. And he tell to student, you know, your scholarship now, not enough, not only enough for it, that's not enough also for transport. And believe me, when I come as head of our government or head of our country, you must be have everything. Of course, student here, that's good guy, huh? Good guy. And for Zhirinovsky also speaking with army people, with soldiers, with officers separately, tell something like that. And very amazing when he speaking was with women. Special, he tell, I would like to speak with women only. Not, and make some interesting point. He tell that I know women, you not always very happy with your husbands or boyfriends or lovers. And he tell, I know why. Because your husbands or your friends so hard work, and after hard work have so bad food, no vitamins in food. That's why coming exhausted to house, and that's why you're not happy with such people. You know? And he said, believe me, no, once more. But he, et cetera, et cetera. But he not tell from where he take money for that, for all. And of course, people, Russian people who is like hear music or speech or I don't know, of songs of the birds, you not hear this like a songs of the birds, like a dream, you know? And that now, of course, if today we have, of course, I'm not professional politician, but I'm sure if today we have another election, Zhirinovsky at least half of this number of votes, of course, that's lost, for sure. And you know now also, I hear something, maybe rumors, because I not read English. I hear that's discussed for some, you know, for some sometimes misunderstanding between two countries. But sometimes American sides tell that we too early coming to partnership. We must build something, postpone this, you know, this kind of friendship from the heart. I think that's by mistake, my opinion. Why I tell you? Because I'm a Russian, and I know in very difficult moment, but we still proud for our nation. We still proud for our country. That's why, you know, change a real partnership now. That make, you know, make more distance for friendship. And I think that's very bad time for that. Because when we start our friendship so good and so great, and America help enormously much, start help enormously much for Russia. But sometimes this help coming a little bit, you know, I tell you, not in direct ways needed this help. For example, that's not only United States, another country also. I know that sometimes coming humanitarian help to Russia, and that's after coming some big aircraft, airplane with Medicare or with some with equipment for medicine equipment. You know, after some days of coming to black market and people just sell this. That's many times that exists in Russia now, very sorry. That's why I think that, and also sometimes that United States sent to Russia many instructors for teach Russian people for, you know, for medicine or for economy, for et cetera, et cetera. I think that instructor must be coming after significant help coming for equipment, for food, because instructor must be for my opinion, second echelon after that coming help to Russia. Because also that, you know, Russian people sometimes, not only Russian, but you teach me, but I, you teach me how I must make my life. But first you help to me for I have enough food, and after teach me how I must schedule my life. Something like that. You know, but I'm sure that's our future. Great. I'm very optimistic for Russia. I'm very optimistic. Especially because I was not only in Moscow and St. Petersburg. I was in two provincial cities. I visited Nizhny Novgorod, that's before that was Gorky, and I visited to Orenburg, before that name was Chkalov. And there, I think, start a real new Russia from around Moscow, because Moscow, so many, you know, so much power have, for example, still power communists have in Moscow, in St. Petersburg, but in, I think, in villages or in small city, that's self-regulated this system for open marketing. And I'm very optimistic after I visit to this small city. And I, of course, if you ask me, maybe you ask me about Russian Senate, kind of Senate, that Duma in Russian language. Как перевести Дума на русский?
Дума, they call it Duma, or you can say parliament.
No, no, that's Duma, думать, как сказать.
To think.
Yes, Duma, that's kind of to think. You're not Duma, Russian word, so that's to think. Думать, that's to think. Дума, that's wrong. And you know, that's very sorry, because many member of parliament that think first about his personal good life. Yes, that's sorry, very sorry. But you know, that's what we needed, of course, we needed parliament who is first think about the country and about rules. Because we always, you know, that so many different party there, and each party would like show that I'm not agree. That's very difficult make all together people. Very difficult, because that's this party that's like a, you know, like a, in first springtime flowers coming, so many flowers. And so many party now in Russia, I think that's coming down, this explosion, coming down. And of course that we have some difficulties, but I think that's very positive new constitution. Because new constitution, what is also approved for people 12th of December, that give a real power for president. Of course that's very important who is president for that. But I tell you that I completely trust and believe for President Yeltsin. Completely. I know him personally. And I think he is absolutely honest man. And that's what we needed. He really understand that communism not, in Russia, no more communism coming as great power. He understand this perfectly. And I think that so far when he stay as president, I think that's not, I not expected something very, you know, very dangerous. Now, for my opinion, when coming out from the prison, Rutskoy and Khasbulatov, you believe me, I very like people, I love people, and I adore people, I don't know how to tell you, you know. But I think that by mistake was coming out from the prison. I tell you why. Because I was in Russia in that moment, that's in October, and I hear in Russian TV through CNN. I hear when Rutskoy tells to very loud screaming, "Police, aviation, coming to the Moscow." That's the Air Force coming to the Moscow. He would like if that's coming great civil war. He provoked this, and Khasbulatov same. That's why I know Rutskoin Khosbulatov also personally, because we was all together in 91, in August 91, when was a coup situation in Moscow. But I must tell you that, sorry that these people not together, because in August 91, we was all together, Rutskoy, Khosbulatov, Yeltsin, and another people. But you know also that tendency for taking power, great power for self, that this tendency still in Russia. Because after Stalin, who have enormous power, absolutely, for him, not interesting at all what is parliament, why parliament. He self, that's dictator. And you know also that was the dictatorship after Stalin, absolutely. Even Khrushchev, who is more democratic than another people was, that absolutely dictatorship. I know him also personally. I know personally Mr. Brezhnev. He not was dictator, but he was plus of that very stupid. Very stupid, Mr. Brezhnev was, yes. Yes, and not only because he signed rules for deprive my citizenship, not only because of that, he's stupid. Yes, and you know, that was dictatorship. And now, for example, Rutskoy or Khosbulatov, that I see this tendency for take it power and tell I'm your dictator. I know how we coming from crisis and how we coming to the good life. But that's not true he knows. I know that he completely don't know anything for that. And friends, excuse me for my English first. Secondly, excuse me that I jump from one object to another object. But now I finish my speech for your happiness. And now, and friends, if you have some questions, I with great pleasure try or answer for your questions. Thank you very much.
I'll read the questions.
I just read the questions.
Maestro. How have the changes in Russia affected the music community there? Has the liberating experience been enough to overcome the decline of government support?
Art support?
That.
Yes. You know, also very interesting situation now in Russia. Interesting. Why? Because, for example, in Moscow, I think now twice more orchestra than before. Number of orchestra. And before was also many orchestra. I think that at least was 10 orchestra, maybe more, I'm not counted now, more than 10. But now more than 20. And you know why? Because and absolutely not for support for government. But now we have some successful company, for example, some banks, successful, or industry company, or and each this company or some kind of bank would like have also theater or orchestra and help to the orchestra. For example, a Russian national orchestra, that's sponsor of that, some banks in Russia, and make money for this or for musician of this orchestra, much more than another orchestra who take it support from the government. That's why that Russian National Orchestra have now better musician than state orchestra, because many people from state orchestra coming for work for national orchestra, what is private orchestra practically. That's why private initiative that make many orchestra give work for musicians or for much more also theater, drama theater in Russia. Of course, that's, for example, Bolshoi Theater still in have money from the government. And that's catastrophe situation because all budget of Bolshoi Theater, budget for a year, that's $2.5 million. If you understand that budget from Metropolitan or La Scala, Milan, that between 40 and 60 $2 million, and Bolshoi have only $2.5 million. That's, of course, that situation now not right, but try improve this situation. Of course, government have no money now. I know personally Minister of Culture, Sidorov, and I know how small money budget give to the arts now. But in any case, that's new talent. I hear many students in conservatorium, and still very great talent there. And somebody coming for teachers or musicians coming to the West. And I think that's not a bad idea, because if he would work in the United States or France or in Germany and make help to another generation for musicians, I think that we Russians must be very proud for that also.
Alexander Solzhenitsyn went back to Russia to live, and you have indicated here that you feel like you're too American. Yes. Don't want to go back and live.
Yes.
As two artists, how do you think his experience in America differed from yours so that you came to these two different decisions?
Yes, I think that's our influence, what I have from American people, of course, much larger than influence what have Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Because he, you know, that we, first of all, we have different kind of profession. He must be closed door and write something, yeah? I must open door and play for the people. that's why I believe that my experience give to me much more love to the people. And his relation coming always not so much to emotion, but more to his mind, to his brain, coming this relation with American people. He's my friend. I love him enormously, admire him enormously. We still friends since 1968. 1969, he coming to my home and lived there 5 years, five winters. And that's, of course, that was a reason for Soviet government take out my family from my country. That was only one reason that Alexander Solzhenitsyn lived there. But if ask me what I make that by mistake, or if God give to me another life, I not repeat such situation. No, I tell you honestly, if God give to me 1,000 lives, I repeat each my life.
Tell us about your health program for Russian children and how is it?
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. You know that we, Galina and I, we organize foundation for help to Russian children. Why? Because you know that ecological situation and very, that I not tell you low level of medicine, because some doctors we have very great, but we have material foundation, equipment, and Medicare. Pharmaceuticals, yes, about this. Pharmaceuticals, we have such small small industry for that. That's why the children very, very sick now, Russian. Each in Moscow, each third child who born that have some damage, already damage, biological damage have. Congenital, yes, defects. Congenital. Better if I've forgotten this word, yes. And you helped me for I've forgotten. Help to children, please. And I think that future, very good. We are also not very healthy people, that's my age. Our age, death, age is much, much younger than in any country in the world, I think. Maybe expect only third world country. And you know, I think that for future, for your grandchildren and for your children, I dreaming when coming that real great friendship and a real friendship, and that possible only if nation is healthy. But a Russian nation, because of ecology, that's ecology, that you know about Chernobyl, that's very inform whole world about that. But we have in, I think that something ending of 50s years, 58, 59, we have in Ural also explosion, atomic explosion. This explosion was 20 times more than Chernobyl. You understand what I mean, 20, not 2 times, 20 times bigger, more power. And you know, that's why we now to try make some support. Support for Moscow hospital, but now we based our support for hospital in St. Petersburg. This hospital, that's pediatric institution, that's name.
Institute.
Pediatric institute. And now we make there, but we must just build it there with equipment, with everything, intensive care for children, intensive care, because that's in this great hospital, what is maybe hundreds small patients, don't have any equipment or any possibility for survive just born children. And I visit for Georgetown University at Children Clinic and Norfolk Children Clinic. I see how fantastic that's, you know, sometimes that's coming to the born, that's like a frog, so small child. Like, and many, many tubes have. How that's possible? You know, that's incredible. Many tubes have. And that's coming after 1-2 months, that's coming to a life, normal human being. And that's a dream make for St. Petersburg that. And I'm so happy because I have some voluntary help to me, people in our committee. For example, Dr. Owen Renard, he's chief of the hospital, pediatric hospital in Georgetown University, Dr. Jack Stapleton, and many other people who helped us enormously, and we're very happy about that, very appreciate.
Whether it was czars or commissars, Russians have always resisted the entry of Western culture.
Okay.
Yes. Do you see this continuing, or what will be the effect of the entry of Western culture on the Russian arts?
You know, of course, we have. I must tell you for my experience, personally my experience. You know, of course, that's when I was student at Moscow Conservatorium since 1943 until 1948, my professor for composition was Shostakovich. And of course, that time we have not officially great interest for Western culture, even for music. That's because that's difficult for connected with Western music was. But in our class, Shostakovich always showed to us score of Mahler. Mahler was absolutely unknown in Russia in that moment when I was a student, Gustav Mahler. But Shostakovich knew exactly how great this composer, and that Mahler made enormous influence for Shostakovich all his life. And he showed to us scores, and we played some scores, striply in four hands in class. And you know, that even, for example, I know same thing was in medicine. Some great professors in medicine, of course, have enormous interest what happens in the West. And through these big, great people, that we also make information, and not only information, but also influence. Of course, I think that if any culture in any country, if isolated, that's very bad. Very bad, because that must be have some new influence for another culture, and we must know everything for make our culture is perfect.
This questioner would like to know, will you write a composition on your impressions of the United States, just as Dvorak did in the 1800s with his New World Symphony?
Thank you very much for these questions. That's so. Thank you. Honestly, I received many compliments in the last few days, but such compliments first time I received. You know? I tell you, I have no any plan compose something for you or about United States because I love you very much.
A number of questioners have wanted to know, how do you think the National Symphony Orchestra may change after your departure?
You know, I first tell you, I'm very happy that after my time here, coming very, very talented, great American conductor, Leonard Slatkin. I'm very happy about that. And I think that for orchestra also important, you know, different influence. Same answer like an answer for culture in one closed country, you know? I think that I'm proud for orchestra. I'm proud because, for example, what I like very much, piano, pianissimo, soft sound. I like when sound born just without any border between silence and sound, just like a born sound, you know? I try that for orchestra make this, and I conducting also many European orchestra. And I tell you that I'm very proud because I like that, and I, if you like, so that's not very good word, but I don't know another, I teach orchestra for that. But I'm sure that Slatkin, when coming, he also teach orchestra for another great thing. And I think for orchestra, that's only good. I only hope that orchestra also something remember what we established for our 17 years. But I hope that, and Maestro Slatkin tell me, Slava, don't worry. Everything what you make it still in orchestra, I take care for that. And that was very nice for him. And I'm very happy that coming great conductor continue this job.
There must be a number of real estate agents in the audience because there have been three or four questions brought up. Where are you going to live? Are you going to keep your house here, a home here, or are you going to be moving?
You know, friends, that's, I tell you honestly, you know, I used, when I come to United States from Paris, when my apartment also, when I come to United States, that's only 3 hours, 20 minutes. You know, that's give to me feeling that real, our Earth is very small, our planet very small. If only 3 hours from Paris to New York, only that you have good lunch, French kitchen, yes, very nice, that's stewardess, what stewardess? Stewardess, very nice stewardess. And you know that, and you only that finished dessert, you already in New York. And that's why I think that geographically, where is you live, that's not so important. For example, for me, absolutely not important. Because I change country each 3 days. For example, if I tell you for last month what happens with me, last month, 28th of May, I make a record with London Symphony Orchestra, morning, 10 to 1. O'clock, 28th of May, I make a record with great violinist, a Russian young violinist, Vingerov, Maxim Vingerov. This name, please, not forgot. That's for future, if you know this name. Maxim Vengerov, great pianist. And I make with London Symphony Orchestra, with him, a record, first concerto Prokofiev and first concerto Shostakovich in record, until 1 o'clock. After that, I come to private airport, and that was demonstration. Some many thousand people. That's why I lost at least 1 hour then I coming to the demonstration with car to airport. And in evening, I have a rehearsal in St. Petersburg with Orchestra St. Petersburg. The next 2 days, 29 and 30, I make 2 concerts in St. Petersburg. And 30 after concert, I also take plane. And in night, I come to Paris, approximately 2 o'clock morning. And 11 o'clock, I take Concorde. And when I arrive here, I have a rehearsal next morning here in Kennedy Center. Same afternoon, yes. You know, that's why for me that's not important, a real. Important for me, where is my soul? Where is my heart? You know, and that's, I must tell you, of course, big part of my heart in Washington. And of course, I come here, and I don't like now that to take it out my apartment here. No. I come here, I would like to see you, I would like to embrace you, et cetera, yes. Yes.
Before asking our last question, I'd like to present you with a certificate of appreciation for being here.
Oh, thank you very much.
And, of course, a National Press Club mug, which every maestro must have.
Oh, good.
With the vodka,
we'll be, I'll get that for you afterwards. We'll toast your retirement. The last question, of course, is that you played with the Emperor of Japan, the cello. And you have some understanding of Prince Charles's ability on the cello.
Yes.
How do they compare? Who is the best, better cello player? And how does President Clinton's saxophone ability measure up in your estimation?
Yes. I play world premiere as cellist more than 100 world premiere composition. I make as conductor more than 50 compositions, that's world premiere. You know, I don't know in repertoire such concerto for one saxophone and 3 cello. But if you would like, of course, if all member of this ensemble accept, of course, I possible commissioned for this composition. But of course, I commission only if all 3 another player is accept that. The concerto for saxophone and 3 cellos. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Listening to the Internet Town Hall, a production of the Internet Multicasting Service in association with the National Press Club. You may copy this file and change the encoding format, but may not resell the contents or make a derivative work. Support for the Internet Town Hall comes from Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Additional support is provided by HarperCollins and Persoft. Network connectivity is provided by UUNET Technologies and MFS DataNet. This is Carl Malamud for the Internet Multicasting Service, Town Crier, to the Global Village.